Hey, Steve Basic Architect from the Unbuild It podcast. Yeah, if you're in Providence on Friday, March 24th or Saturday, March 25th, guess what's happening? You guessed it, JLC Live. It's one of my favorite conferences, Providence, Rhode Island. And while you're there, don't forget to stop by the Huber booth. They're located in booth 239. They also have a happy hour on the afternoon of Friday, March 24th. So, yeah, you get to meet professional colleagues and have a beer on Huber. So while you're there, also be sure to check out Mike Slogitz, Builder's Workshop. Mike always, he's a longtime friend of the Unbuild It podcast. And does a beautiful workshop. And Aaron Jones, Big Dog up in Canada, will be also presenting at JLC Live this year. And he joins a great group of presenters, including all of your favorite regular JLC attendees. So it's going to be another great show, especially that happy hour. So make sure you join us. Booth 239, JLC Live 23. Good day, Unbuild It podcast. Steve Basic Architect here with my good friends, Jake Bruton.
Hello, hello.
And the Peter Yost.
Glad to be here.
All right. Well, we are in for a treat today because usually we do a Q&A session and we have a host of questions. But today, Suzanne from Bozeman, Montana wrote in, and I think we should dedicate a whole podcast to her one question.
Oh, cool. Okay. Is this about favorite colors?
Yes. Actually, favorite taffy flavors.
Ooh, also favorite color.
Banana. Orange. Banana. Orange is nah, it's. You don't have a favorite taffy? Like if you walk into a taffy store. Okay.
Remember all of the candy that was available when you were children? It was all saltwater taffy, right? You're a pre-chocolate. You
look like
sticky topic.
You've never been in a taffy store and be like, oh, I'll get some banana taffy. It's my favorite.
Licorice.
Really? Yeah. Black or red?
Black.
Really?
Yep. I do like black. So in other words, licorice. He was born an old man.
Right down to the taffy.
All right. Yes, the taffy taste.
Poor Suzanne. Poor Suzanne.
Sorry, Suzanne. I'm trying to get these guys back on track. You know what it is. This is like we can't make the rail train jokes right now.
No.
Given the.
You don't know when this is going to publish. It could blow over.
Yeah. Ooh. It could just blow up.
Sorry.
That was real bad. All right. Hello, Unbuild It team. She writes. I guess that's us. Say you are tasked with design and or building an addition to an existing home. How much benefit is there to upgrading the insulation, windows, and overall air tightness of the building if you are not touching the rest of the home? So if we're putting something, adding to a house, and we're not touching it, how much benefit is there to building something really good as opposed to if the existing structure might not be so good? And the second part of her question is, when do you start creating more problems rather than making a better situation? So
can we start off by saying that we get this question quite a bit?
Yes.
And it's a really good one, especially framed the way Suzanne did. So why don't we start with design?
Ooh.
Throwing it sort of back at you.
That. Yeah. Yeah. A little bit about that, maybe.
Can we also say, well, go ahead.
No.
Never mind.
No, you cannot come in just kind of take over and then throw it back. No, what were you going
to
say?
Well, first of all, I was trying to get out of this. I think we should take it upon ourselves to also expand the conversation and discuss just the remodeling side of things, not just the addition, but if you're going to just remodel the house, how much does it make sense to, you know, because that's an extension of this question that we get all the time.
But let's answer. I agree. We can broaden the topic to, you know, how far is too far for remodeling in general, but she's got a very specific question about how far to go with an addition when you're not going to touch the rest of the building.
So I'm just going to make a couple blanket statements that I personally find to be true. And then you guys can either agree, disagree, and then we can dive into it a little deeper. One, I don't think you can go far enough when you're remodeling and or putting an addition on an existing house to how much should I do. You should do everything that the budget would allow, the project would allow to do. The tail should never wag the dog, right? We should always try and fix as many problems. We shouldn't let the level of performance of the addition or remodeling work be dictated by the series of bad decisions that got you into that problem.
So my 80-year-old house with R7 fiberglass that's just in the walls where they're the bathroom and the kitchen, no fiberglass anywhere else, with single pane windows, my addition should not also have R7 insulation and single pane windows. It should have code minimum. It should have appropriate for what my budget can afford, the optimal performance that I can afford to ensure health and comfort.
Yeah, I think you should run through the whole gamut of options, right? That, okay, if I'm putting on an addition, let's just say I'm putting on a family room for a client. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do, it's the rest of the house is 2x4s. The addition is going to be 2x6s. Should we just put up the plywood sheathing or should we consider some type of insulating type sheathing? Mm-hmm. And if I do it there, how much of the original house do I do? Now, some of that is going to be dictated by what level of demolition do I have to do to make the new structure meet the old structure, right? So it's kind of like how big are the stitches or how many stitches do I have to put to heal that wound? I know you like analogies, so I'm trying to work with you here.
You've got me all tied up right here.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And puns. He likes puns.
He does too. Like puns. He's the king of puns. You know, roofing and such siding that if I take off all the siding, I mean, on my own personal house, I have, I think, one wall that doesn't have insulating sheathing on it. And it's just we haven't gotten around to that final phase. I don't know if I ever will, but because of where I put additions and what I did, you know, if we just did a simple remodeling job, like we're going to replace the three windows on the back of the original house. Well, that when you look at it, it pretty much necessitated, okay, let's take the siding off. Well, if I'm going to take the siding off and put it back up, then I shouldn't just put new building paper and new siding up. Let's put up an inch of rigid insulation or 2 inches of rigid insulation, put up some furring strips and then put the siding back up. So now I got a better performing wall system for that section of house.
You had the opportunity and it was never going to be more cost effective.
And it's exactly, everybody's there. It's the cheapest it's ever going to be while I'm doing everything else and while I'm purchasing everything else to do that all at once. So I don't, you know, in answer to your question, Suzanne, I don't think anything that you would do would necessarily create a problem. Even if I took a house and made it virtually airtight, that's only going to benefit the house because now I take the new square footage, add it to the old square footage, and get the average of air tightness, and I've actually enhanced the house as a whole in building the new one more airtight. So
you brought up an interesting aspect of this, which is if you do the addition right, it gives you the opportunity to go almost wall by wall without penalty and pull the rest of the house up to the performance of the addition.
It's interesting because we've talked about this before. And what you just made me think about was, you know, a lot of times when I'm doing remodeling work, one of the things that I strive to do is how much can I roll in mm-hmm. of this bad house into the new work?
Right.
Meaning, instead of just putting a new kitchen on the outside, maybe we demo the kitchen that's there and make it 10 or 20% larger. But in doing so, that forces me to take off all of the siding off of this side of the house. And now I can make the original house that much better and larger.
So the other thing I think you said, Jake, was at least do it up to code minimum. And so another question is, are you allowed to, for an addition, only touch the addition? In other words, is there any part of the building code that says, well, wait a minute, if you're building a large enough addition, do you have to do anything to the existing structure?
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You know the code better than I do.
Every time that this has come up in our neck of the woods, and in multiple different municipalities, they cannot force you to invest in the existing property unless it is a safety issue. Mm. And there is something in the code that multiple municipalities in the central Missouri area have decided that gives them the right to make us add wired smoke detectors.
Right. Right. So safety trumps, and you have to pull the whole house up to the new standard. Yeah. But they can't say to you, hey, the code requires R30 in the attic, and you don't have that in the existing attic. But wait a minute, I'm not touching that attic. I'm just building an addition. Yeah. So it's pretty distinct.
We have two major remodels right now. Both of them have horrible staircases. Mm. And the staircases are not part of the remodeling project.
They're grandfathered.
Yeah. And so it's some of it's left to like building inspector interpretation, if you will. Mm-hmm. But you know, we tried to show him, like, we were sensitive to one of the staircases. We had to reinforce the roof. So we reinforced that section slightly differently so we didn't encroach the additional 2 inches of headroom into the staircase. So we could go back to the building inspector and just simply say, listen, we did our best. We're not moving the stairway. That's not part of the new project. And we didn't make it any worse than it's been for the last 160 years.
So Suzanne also
is grandmothers have broken their back on.
Yeah.
Suzanne has a pretty specific question at the second part of this, which is there anything I could be doing with the remodeling that's a detriment to the old building? And, you know, I have to think back to a project where we did a 3-story addition on a building that was full basement and then 2 finished floors above. And we add an addition that was a full basement right next to it, 2 stories above. And the original building did not have a foundation perimeter drainage. And it was a well-draining sandy loam soil. We go ahead and drop our addition in, and we get a phone call from the homeowner after heavy rain saying, well, the good news is, I guess it's the good news, there's 6 inches of water in the new basement, but the really bad news is there's 6 inches of water in the basement that's never flooded. So if you're digging in the ground and changing potentially the way the site works with an addition, that's something you ought to think really hard about, because we know the one thing that we can't sort of scrimp on is water management with the new addition, particularly since it could have an impact on the original building.
Well, and you know, with your example, there are things that are outside of your control. Did the neighbors put on an addition that rerouted water under the building? Mm. Are the gutters clogged all of a sudden? It just happens to be that you guys finished the addition 6 weeks ago and now the gutters are clogged and now they're running over and things aren't draining. That's a really big challenge for the renovation world. Is, well, what's your baby? What's your responsibility?
Right, right.
And I've had that conversation with people, and I always just say, like, I know this is the worst way to put it. You got to trust me. If you have a problem, call me. I'll come look at it. If it's at all possibly my fault, I'll take care of it. If it's not my fault, I'll tell you, and I'll help you figure out the solution. But, I mean, how do you deal with that? You
know? Yeah.
Well, given that water is such a killer to buildings, I think one of the questions that as the architect or designer and or the builder before the project gets going, you should ask is anything that I'm doing with the new work going to challenge water movement, whether it's off the roof, across the ground, through a gutter system, to make it worse than the original situation?
Yeah.
And is there anything I should be cautious of?
I think the other thing is, you know, I do an awful lot of existing building assessments that sometimes lead to investigations, but to put on a major addition and not sort of do a some level of assessment about the way the existing building is performing, you know, I think that you could get into trouble if you don't understand how the existing building works and you're going to put a brand new addition to it. There is the potential there for complications.
So I'll do you one better. One of the things that we always end up with, the community that I live in, Columbia, there are multiple hospitals, there are multiple universities. We tend to have people that have never lived in our area migrate to our area. Oh. We get lots of phone calls for, hey, we bought this house. We want to do this and this and this to it. What can we do? And one of the things that we always say is all of the sewers have to be camered before we will do anything. Oh. We're not going to say you have 50 grand to do this bathroom. That's great. That's all your money. And then get there and then you move in and then the house have
that could be an sewer awesome issues. Website.
What?
Sewer camera.
Sewercamera.com. But it's probably
no, that's really really interesting.
The system, we have to learn as much as we can about the system before we decide how to spend your money. You're saying the same thing.
Yep.
I'm adding in a non-building science-y.
Oh yeah.
We had a renovation really cool. for some people that were amazing customers a few years ago. They bought the house. They'd never lived in the house. The house was empty when they bought it. And we added a kitchen, we added on, we renovated and replaced floors. There was like one bathroom that had been done in the 60s that we weren't touching. And there was another bathroom that we did. And then like 3 weeks after they moved in, the ceiling in the living rooms got water in it. And I'm saying, well, we pulled the toilets on the second floor and we camered all these lines. I have no idea where it's coming from, but it's underneath the bathroom we didn't touch. And they're like, well, we thought you camered the line. Well, we camered the 3-inch lines. That's what the contract says. We can't camera the 1.5-inch line that comes out of the sink. We can't. You asked us not to, the tub had a leak. We pulled the ceiling down in this very old house and we quickly realized that it was drywall. And then as soon as we got through the drywall, there was a huge hole in the plaster that somebody had covered up and it had clearly been leaking for decades.
Oh my
probably.
Word.
And it's like, they didn't live there. We did everything we possibly could to make sure that we didn't waste their money. And then what happens is the homeowner says, well, this is your fault. And I'm saying, well, we didn't touch it. And they're like, yeah, but you're going to pay for it. And it's like, that's the instance where it's like, you got to trust me. If it's my fault, I'm going to have no problem covering it. That's part of what you're paying me for.
So I think I don't know if we're wrapping up this or not, but I think the not interesting thing with Susanna is that we're saying, yes, you can treat the addition independently with some caveats about understanding the building, existing building's performance.
And you probably should.
Treat yeah.
separately.
Yeah. But you should build the addition as best you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
And from the challenging the other part of the building, my one anecdote, or as Steve would say, anecdotal story of the...
That was a dig, yes.
Yes, it was.
Well, you also said my personal house.
Well, you're a bucket.
What is that compared to your non-personal house?
Maybe I do have a non-personal house that I just don't tell you about. What do you think? I tell you everything?
Yogi Berra would be proud.
So we did a like 700 square foot addition exposed on three sides, east, south, and west facing, full of glass, vaulted ceiling.
This house before.
You have. And that was a dig at me because this is not the first time we recorded this podcast, just so that you guys know. Actually, no, it is the first time.
Oh, it is?
It's the first time we recorded it. The last time we did a dry run without the thing recording. That's what happened.
We got great video for
that. So we did a 700 square foot addition. It gets its own HVAC system. It gets a mini split to run that one room. It was a high exposure room. We were worried about comfort. The existing system was going to be taxed. And a few weeks after we finish in the middle of summer, the clients call and they go, the rest of the house is really hot. And it's because the thermostat for the rest of the house was close enough to that room
short circuited
that there was bleeding from the new system, cooling off the thermostat and the adjoining room. But then the rest of the house wasn't getting cool air because the system wasn't kicking on.
We never
considered it. And I walked over there to see what was going on. I walked in from the front door. I could see the door to our room and the thermostat for the old house. And I went, why didn't I see that until just now?
Wow, that's a great
story. And all we did was pull the thermostat.
Well, it's an okay story. It's not like
Well, what's really cool is I'm just excited about it. Apparently, this is the second time I've heard it.
And I hear it seems like a different story every time
I watched Pete last week when we were together use his computer to work to Google signs of dementia. All of the links were already purple. He had definitely clicked all of them at least once before. I don't know why.
Do you know what the first stage of dementia is?
Rose.
When you see the purple and you don't realize that it means that you've been there before.
Hey, building on, I'm going back to the actual question here. You guys can have your fun.
So serious.
I'm going to piggyback on what Jake said, because what I've heard from HVAC guys and plumbers that I've worked with is when you do a new addition, you don't want to change the way you're heating that space. Meaning that you don't want to grow.
It's a delivery system.
Yeah. You don't want to put a family room addition on and put radiant floor heating in it while the rest of the house has baseboard. Hmm. Because even though the air temperature and everything's going to be the same and it's going to be performing as designed and working well, it's going to feel colder when you walk into the old part of the house because of the way the heat was delivered through the radiant floor.
I think what's pretty cool about this topic is that we started off saying, no, there's no, you know, you can treat them separately. But what we're saying really is, well, there are caveats to that.
Unless you're putting on a bedroom where you walk in and out of a door, the addition, they're linked and you have to treat them as such.
They're linked, but you're not going to sacrifice performance on the new section.
Yes. Correct.
I agree.
And then we were going to have the topic of, well, what about remodeling in general and going too far? And I know both of you and I have thoughts on that, but I think that's a separate topic.
I think.
Yeah.
That could be.
I will. The delivery of your heating and cooling.
Yes.
This doesn't necessarily have to do with Suzanne's question, but like right after I bought the company from my parents, I was looking at, we're looking at replacing the heat source for a house, and the clients were adamant that they wanted the tax credit for ground source heat pump. Hmm. It was a huge tax credit. The HVAC supplier that we were installer that we worked with at the time was a huge water furnace dealer, like one of the biggest in the country.
Yeah.
And I was looking at all of it and I was like, yeah, it makes perfect sense for these people. This seems like it's a good idea. The tax credits are enormous. And I was sitting in the older gentleman that still ran the company at the time. And I said, Bill, what is the reason for me to not do this? That your question of what question do I need to be asking? And he said, how old are they? And I said, they're both in their 70s. And he said, they're not going to like it. The heat that comes out of the wall is not as warm as their current heat. And they can't come in on a cold day and stand in front of it. He said, I guarantee they're not going to like it. He said, ask her if she stands in front of the heat. And I called her and she said, I'm standing over top of one of the registers in the kitchen that I always stand over top of when I get cold.
You know what's interesting?
It's sort of task heating.
And I was like, yeah.
And we did an addition on our house, and it's somewhat out of when I grew up, we always used to come in. I grew up in a house that had radiators. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we'd come in, your gloves would be soaking wet.
Yep.
And my mom would say, go put your gloves on the radiator. Right. Mm-hmm. We dry it out. So fast forward 20, 25 years, we put a big addition on our house. We have a mud room. And my wife is like, why don't we put a radiator in here?
That reason.
And we're not doing steam. Yeah. For that reason, pretty much.
Yeah.
So we put in, we got this old radiator, cleaned it all up, repainted it, restored it. And we circulate hot water through it as part of the baseboard. It's like the best room in the house. Like if you're outside and if it was 20 below, you would come in and you would stand in front of that radiator and be like, oh, this is nice. It's the only place in the house where you could do that.
Well, and if you have a wood stove, it's the same thing. You locate for comfort. Sometimes you want to be bellied up right next to it.
Yep.
So.
Okay. Right.
Well, hey, before we go, did you hear about the three conspiracy theorists that walked into a bar?
No.
Yeah, I don't think it was a coincidence.
Steve, where is this? This is the new you. You're a jokester at heart.
You like this?
I can't believe it. I can't wait till the next episode.
I'm saving the best for last.
Okay. What do you think, Jake?
Jake's like, these two idiots. Are we going to know when it's the last one that we have to put up with? Do you have a resource, as you put it, for this?
Well, one of the resources is going to be my building assessment, the one that I use to look at all buildings.
So that would probably be an upcoming podcast as well. I think that's a great topic.
And I'm going to think about, there are a couple of remodeling books, but I haven't. I'll have to go back and look and see if there's one that I would feel comfortable recommending. And the deal with the idea of additions, because a lot of remodeling, I'm thinking back to some remodeling texts. David Johnston from Boulder, Colorado, he wrote a book on remodeling. Go back and take a look at that.
Right. Okay.
Well, before we leave, let's say thank you to Suzanne for taking the time to write in. If you want to be like Suzanne, you can certainly write in to
questions@unbuilditpodcast.com.
And maybe we'll do a whole episode on your question if Pete finds it worthy. Ooh.
And if not, then Steve and I will not find it worthy as well. Okay, don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. Don't forget to like and leave us a review, 5-star review on iTunes. That's how other people find us. We wanted to say thank you for listening. And so therefore, thank you for listening.
Bye now.
Thanks a bunch.